Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, Neil here. It is so good to be with you. And what a joy it is to continue our series on Advance. Don't know about you, but this has really helped me as I've been able to lean into God's Word and learn these valuable lessons from the book of Joshua. Well, as we're advancing, we've already learned that it's important that we do not let fear be the dominating force in our life. But we are people of faith. We walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. And then, of course, we learned from Joshua himself the importance of, when he was given the instruction, don't be fearful, but be courageous. And his ability to meditate on God's word. And I still believe that that is the answer for all of us today. What does God's word say about our situation? And then Pastor Dan spoke about the fact of, hey, as we move forward, what are we going to take with us? And what are we going to leave behind? And then I hope you were really encouraged by Kenny and Adele last week as they shared with us that incredible story of the miracle that took place in his life, overwhelming circumstances against him. But God moved on his behalf and he was able to advance and move forward. Well, today I want to talk on the importance of, or the danger, should I say, of walking by sight. Let me ask you a question, and let's be honest right now. Have you ever made a blunder? Have you ever done something and you felt so foolish or stupid after it? I remember many, many years ago walking into a shop and there was a guy there and he had his sleeve rolled up and he was showing a Chinese gentleman a tattoo that he had, which was Chinese writing. And I just heard him say this, "Oh, thank goodness that's what it says." I thought to myself, I would have checked before I had that etched on my skin. I would have made sure. That could have been a big blunder. And then one of my personal stories, quite embarrassing actually. A number of years ago again, I had gone into an office to see someone and I had this blinding headache. So they said, don't worry, we'll get you an aspirin. So they went and they got me the aspirin and a glass of water. And what did I do? I threw the aspirin into my mouth, not realizing that it was soluble. Yes, they're going, no, 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 no. And I'm trying to speak now and retain my dignity as I'm frothing at the mouth. And I still remember that. Yeah, we've all made blunders. One of the things I love about the Bible is its honesty, that it doesn't cover things up. And we can learn as much from the high notes of God's people as we can from the low notes. And the Bible is very transparent when it tells us some of the mistakes they made. And in our story today, we read about a major blunder that Joshua made. I'm reading from Joshua 9, verses 3 to the 16. This is what we read. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard the reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provision for your journey, go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you, but now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins they were filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by this very long journey.' The Israelites, listen to this, sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were actually their neighbors living near to them. Let me give you context here. After that great victory at Jericho, the next city that the Israelites were to take was a place called Ai. It was just a small place. So Joshua thought to himself, there's no point in sending all the troops. We'll just send 3,000 men. We'll be able to take that place, no problem at all. Sadly, when they went, the men of Ai were able to overcome them. Joshua was confused and he went to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, I'll tell you what the problem is. There's sin in the camp. You see, the Israelites had been instructed that when they went to Jericho, that they were not to take any of the possessions. But there was a man called Achan, and what he did, he saw a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and some silver. And the Bible says that he coveted this, and he took it, and he hid it in his tent under the earth. And because of his sin, it meant that the children of Israel were not victorious. Essentially, when they discovered what had happened, they had to deal with the sin. I tell you, when there's sin in the camp, it's always going to stop you advancing. When there's sin in the church, when there's sin in our life, when there's sin in our home, I tell you what, it becomes a restrictor in all that God has for us. And that's what the children of Israel saw. They had this great victory over Jericho, and now little Ai had them beat. After they dealt with Achan and dealt with the consequence of his sin, God gave them a mighty victory. God turned that situation around. So they go to, the Bible says, they go to renew their covenant with God, and Joshua leads them as once again he reads the books of the law, and they celebrate and are reminded of what God is going to do in them and through them as they go into the promised land. He turned their embarrassing defeat into a complete victory. So now there is a time of renewal and recommitment. But there were a couple of the folks there that lived in Canaan that came together and they thought to themselves, listen, let's go and attack them before they attack us. A point I want to make right now, and I've discovered this, that after great spiritual victory and blessing, be vigilant for an attack by the enemy. They had just had a victory at Ai after they dealt with the sin issue, and now they're under attack again. I have discovered in my own life, often it's after an incredible spiritual blessing, a breakthrough, a point of seeing God in my behalf, that the enemy will come to try and tear it down, to pull me down, to short circuit, to be a breaker in everything that God has done. Come on, church. Have you ever come out of a good Sunday service? You're refreshed, you're revived, the praise and worship has been outstanding, you've heard the word of the Lord, and you feel on a spiritual high, and then what happens? You get a text message or a telephone call, and it's bad news, and you're suddenly aware that that blessing you were walking in just begins to erode. That's what the enemy wants to do. So I want to encourage you, be alert and be vigilant, because we know that we have an adversary. Something else I want to point out is this, that prior to the children of Israel going to battle at Jericho, the words of Rahab was, our hearts are faint within us. The word of what you have done is, and what your God is doing on your behalf, it is known to all the people here. We're fearful and afraid. But because of the sin of Achan, we discover something. There was an alliance which was a consequence of Achan's sin. Suddenly the folks thought, wait a minute. If the men of Ai can beat them, then maybe we can beat them as well. And I think that's where we've got to be so careful. Sin always has consequence. But listen, there was one people that were there. They were the Gibeonites. And the people of Gibeon, they were wise enough to know that God's people could not be beaten for long. So their philosophy was very simple. It was this, if you can't beat them, join them. Now, they had done their homework. It's important that you get this. They knew that according to Deuteronomy chapter 20, that God's people had been told that all cities had to be destroyed as the children of Israel took hold of the promised land to prevent pagan cultures influencing God's people. So they knew that because they were part of that land in Canaan, that they were going to be destroyed, that they were going to be completely taken out. So they devised a very clever plot. I read it to you in scripture. They disguised themselves to look like a delegation that had come from a far land. They took moldy bread. They put wine in cracked wineskins, which would imply that it was old, that they were their clothes looked old. Their sandals had been mended as if they'd been on this long, long journey. Listen, here's another thing I want to say to you. The enemy is skilled at deceit. As we advance, as we move forward, we need to be aware that after a spiritual victory, the enemy will try to attack. We need to be aware that because of the consequence of sin, the enemy can think that he can get a foothold in our life. And once again, we've got to be alert. We've got to be sharp because the enemy is so skilled at deceit. He knows the word of God. He knows its teaching. He said to Eve, has God said? In other words, are you sure that's what God really meant? Are you sure you've got that right, Eve? The enemy is a master strategist. He knows his Bible. Now, the Gibeonites also knew that God had said, according to Exodus 34:12, had said these words through Moses, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare amongst you. So they were permitted to make a treaty with people from a far land, but not those that belonged to the land that they were going to take. So they pretended that they'd come on this long journey, and they wanted to make peace with Joshua and the children of Israel because of the fame of God. And they tricked Joshua and God's people into making a compromise with the enemy, making a treaty with them. Now, we know that according to Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. Imagine this. In all of the promised land, there was this section that was still going to belong to the Gibeonites. And I've discovered this. The enemy is never, never content with just a little bit of compromise. He always wants more. It's always just push it a little bit more. How near to the edge can you go? In modern vernacular, everyone's doing it. Come on, Neil. That's old-fashioned. When the Bible says appear from the very appearance of sin. Oh, that's so old school. Nowadays, we're liberal in the church. Nowadays, it's hey, we can get off with so much. I want to say to you folks as clearly as I can, no, we can't. We still must walk and abide by the word of God. I'm not talking about a religious spirit right now. I'm referring to that we conduct ourselves according to the values of the kingdom of God. No compromise. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give the enemy somewhere he can work from, because he is a master strategist. And I've discovered this, that the battle zone is the mind. If he can get into our mind and get a victory there, I tell you what, he'll take us to places that we never went to go. He'll cause us to compromise. And that's what happened with the Gibeonites. Even though the children of Israel were now advancing into the promises and the promised land that God had for them, immediately after a great victory, they're compromising and forming a treaty with people of that land, the very thing God said they should not do. Now, 3 days later, Joshua and the children of Israel discovered that it was a ruse, that it was not true, that they'd been lied to. They were furious. But what could they do? The treaty had already been signed. So, of course, there was a curse pronounced on Gibeon. They were condemned to, as a nation, to servitude. And what they had to do for the tabernacle is literally they become woodcutters and water carriers. Now, that's an interesting story. Maybe most of you have never heard that story before. But what can we learn from what we've just heard? As we advance, as we move forward into everything that God has for us, I mean, Joshua and Gibeonites, Neil, that's great, but what does that have to do with me today? Well, here's a couple of observations that I've made this week, and I hope it's helpful to you. Number one, you need to pray before we make any decision in our life. Not only the major decisions, the minor decisions. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not referring to the fact that, You know, if you have the option of two soups, that, well, what soup should I take? Maybe you feel that's important. I don't want to mock. But I'm talking about when you're making major decisions in our life, when we're moving forward, do we seek the will of the Lord? Joshua and the children of Israel, they'd sampled the provisions, the moldy bread and the seen the worn wineskins. But listen to this. They did not inquire of the Lord. They depended on what they saw. Remember, we're speaking today about the danger of walking by sight. They saw the moldy bread. They saw the old clothes. They saw the worn sandals. And they took what I call the scientific approach rather than the spiritual approach. They allowed what they saw by their natural eyes to confirm what they thought or were being told, rather than going to God and saying, God, this is what it looks like, but God, would you give us wisdom in this situation? They left God out of what was happening. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but they've just come through Ai, sin in the camp. God had to turn that situation around for them. Joshua's already spoken the law of Moses again in their very presence, and now they're doing it again. They're not consulting with the Lord. Folks, if you want to advance, if you want to move forward, I want to say something very important. Don't just look at your past victories and because it worked a certain way or because this is what you did back then that you think that's just what you've got to do now. Friends, I want to encourage you. What does God have to say about the situation? We talk about a personal relationship, and when Jesus Christ is in your life, you have that personal relationship. But I've discovered often for many Christians, our relationship is very impersonal. We exclude God. We take God into our thinking on the Sunday, but then throughout the rest of the week, we do our own thing. We operate according to the flesh, the sight, and our natural wisdom. Listen, if he's Lord, if he's master, if he's savior, then he must be Lord of all. If everything belongs to him, then we are only stewards of the blessing that God has given us. Listen to what James said in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The book of Proverbs, and that scripture that we all know so well, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, can I say that again? In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. You see, God sees our past better than we do. I'll never forget hearing the story of a wee boy, and it's school, you know, one of those bring and show and tell. And he took a goldfish bowl. It was full of earth, and he had some ants in there and stones and twigs. And he took that to let all his friends see it. And all his friends were, oh, that's incredible, as they watched the ants crawling around the bowl, which they could see from every angle. But the teacher, he saw something completely different. He saw that as the ants were making tunnels, he saw that ahead of them there was a stone, there was an obstacle. Perhaps a twig, or perhaps where two tunnels were going to collide. Why? Different perspective, different vantage point. Can I say to you, my friend, God sees our past better than we do. And that's why we should always go to him in prayer. Not as a last resort, but as a first resort. And if you want to move forward, let's seek the will of God. Another observation I have here is this, that Joshua was a man of integrity. And we must be people of integrity. You see, Joshua was put under pressure. Listen, the Gibeonites, they've lied to us, Joshua. Listen, we don't have to fulfill our oath to them. We don't have to fulfill our promise. And listen to the words of Joshua. No, we have given them our oath by the Lord. But they lied. It doesn't matter. Joshua had given his word. And have you discovered in society right now how quickly promises are broken? It used to be that what we called a gentleman's handshake, and that sealed it. But now a yes doesn't necessarily mean a yes. Now, an agreement doesn't necessarily mean an agreement. It's the psalmist that says these words, "The Lord honors those who fear him, those who keep their oath, even when it hurts." Dave Burry, as many of you know, has recently been doing some work for me. And David is incredible. If you know David, to know him is to love him. And I asked David this simple question. David, it must be so difficult when, you know, you're perhaps asked to go and quote on a, give a quote or price a job. How do you work out how long it's going to take, materials, et cetera, et cetera? And he said, well, Neil, I've been doing this for many, many years now, and you get to know things. He says, but when I first started, he says, it was difficult. He says, often I would underquote because I didn't realize how long it was going to take me. It would take me extra time. He said, but this is what I would do. He says, very rarely, he says, in fact, never, he said, would I charge the people extra. He says, I'd given my word. And I said, that's amazing, because I tell you, I've been caught out by that many times. And this is what David says. He says, no, he says, Neil, I bear that loss. I have taken that loss on board myself. He says, and this is how I looked at it. He says, I looked at it as, this is a learning curve for me. He says, I'm discovering how long it's going to take to do particular things. He says, I'm becoming an expert at my trade. I love the way that David reframed that. That even financially, he was out of pocket, that because he had said a particular price, he honored that price. Let me tell you something. That is a man of integrity. And I want to encourage you today, if you want to advance in the promises of God, let's practice living with integrity. There are promises that must be kept. I believe there is great power in that. And here's my last observation. Trust in God's sovereign providence. I still believe Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. God can and he will work all things for our good, even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, even when we can't understand it, even when we don't know how God is going to do it. He will work all things together for our good. So what happened to the Gibeonites? Well, over the years, it was their responsibility to work in the tabernacle. I told you that. They were at the altar day in and day out. They saw the sacrifices. They had observed true worship. And something incredible happened through the grace of God. Eventually, they were incorporated into the congregation of Israel. They made the God of Israel their God. Despite deceitful beginnings, they came to know and serve the God of Israel. That's how God can turn things around. Listen to this, and I'll quote. I wrote it down. I have so much that I put here. When the land was divided at the end of Joshua, Gibeon was one of the cities that was given to the line of Aaron. 400 years later, David put the tabernacle there, the altar, and the priesthood. One of David's military advisors, one of his mighty men, was a Gibeonite. When the Jews returned from the Babylonian captivity, 500 Gibeonites were among them. Ezra tells us that they were totally committed to the Lord and his house. And Nehemiah says that there were Gibeonites involved in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. What happened? God turned a curse into a blessing because of a change of heart. My friend, even at times that people have deceived you, they've spoken wrong about you, they've tried to trip you out, their mindset was not the best for you, I promise, if you keep your integrity, if you keep communication with God, and you believe in his sovereign promise that God will never leave us, never forsake us, and you believe that God is sovereign in his providence, let me tell you something. All things will work together for your good. Let me close with this. Warren Wiersbe said these words. The mistake we make embarrass us, especially those mistakes that are caused by our running ahead of the Lord and not seeking his will. But we need to remember, no mistake is final for the dedicated Christian. God can use even our blunders to accomplish his purposes. So if you've made some mistakes, and I certainly have, if you've let yourself down and let God down, I tell you, when you come to Him in repentance, He can turn the whole situation around. I believe that God wants us to advance. Now you're here, you're listening to my voice. You've never responded to Jesus. And you say that, hey, I need my life right with God. Maybe once you walked with God and you've blundered. Maybe you've compromised with the world and the things of the flesh. Maybe you've allowed things into your life that should not be there, like Pastor Dan told us about last week. I believe that now is your opportunity to realign with God and realign with His purposes. Or if you've never given your heart to Jesus, would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've got it wrong. I've made mistakes. My life is not right before You. But I ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be a Christian that walks in the light of the gospel, to know that I belong to Jesus, that He is my Lord, my Master, and Savior, and that I belong to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.